Wednesday, July 3rd, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mahi City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope that your week is off to a great start, but here's the good news. Here in the good old US of A, it is a holiday week here because Thursday is Independence Day. Yes, this day is a federal holiday here in the States, which commemorates the adoption of the Declaration of Independence back on July 4th, 1776, when, of course, this country here that I live in declared their independence from the Kingdom of Great Britain. Now, there are usually on this day, maybe like political speeches, there could be ceremonies, there might be a parade. We love doing some barbecues, carnivals, fairs, picnics, baseball games. Sometimes we even have like class reunions or family reunions all across the country on the 4th of July, the day that we here in America celebrate our independence. We even have songs associated with the 4th of July. Some songs that are out there that you might hear on the 4th of July here in the States might be our national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner. You will hear God Bless America, America the Beautiful, My Country Tis of Thee, which is always a little bit weird, at least based on the tune. This Land Is Your Land, Stars and Stripes Forever. Let's see, God Bless the USA. I mean, there's a number of other songs that have kind of moved their way into that, you know, like Party in the USA or Surfing USA, you know, American Girl, ROCK in the USA, American Pie, maybe something like Living in America, perhaps. And maybe just one more that's out there, I guess. Rock Flag and Eagle! And we do have a number of other traditions on Independence Day. For one, on the 4th of July, here in the States, on Thursday, we will barbecue. We will grill anything and everything. We grill hot dogs. We grill hamburgers. We grill ribs. We grill chicken. You name it, and we eat everything. Now, I know if you're listening to this, maybe you're not here in the US of A, you are like, well, isn't that what you do pretty much every day? Yes, it is, but it's a little bit different because now we actually do it for a reason. We celebrate our independence and we eat everything. And we do also drink heavily on the 4th of July. We drink beer. We drink, I don't know, whiskey. We drink maybe rum. We drink everything we can too. And then comes the best part of American Independence Day. Because yes, we eat everything and then we drink everything. Oh, and then we throw explosives into the mix, which just makes everything a little bit better because we like to light off fireworks and blow things up. Oh, do we love blowing things up? I don't think I've ever told this story, but I'll tell this story here on The Dose. One year, when I was about 10 years old, we went to some friend's house deep in the mountains in Colorado. We didn't have any fireworks. We couldn't find any fireworks. There were no fireworks stands up in this small town in Colorado. But the family we were staying with, their father had been a miner. So we found a case of dynamite under the garage and proceeded to light off 3 sticks for the 4th of July. You know why? Because we love blowing things up on the 4th of July. I'm pretty sure that is why the holiday is actually celebrated on July 4th. I know they signed the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, but I also think that we picked the 4th because that's how many fingers a lot of people have left after this big day. And not only do we blow things up, which in and of itself is kind of crazy after you've been eating and drinking all day, we take pictures and we take videos of the things that we blow up. I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense. We have never ever gone back and looked at those pictures or watched those videos of things exploding, but we see them taken every year. When you go out on Thursday and you see people with their phones pointing up at the fireworks exploding either on the street or in the sky or wherever you're at, you tell me how many of those people are going to go back and watch those videos. We don't do it, but we take them every single year and we post them on social media. I don't know why. We don't want to watch those. I do not ever stop on social media and say, Wow, did you see the fireworks show they were at? Look at this. This is amazing. But they're posted every single year. We just can't help ourselves. Now, I have told you before how things are here in America these days. We argue about everything. We complain about everything. We whine about everything. We have literally, in this country, we have sent kids home from school for wearing the American flag because we have deemed it as bullying. I'm not even joking. It is a good thing that we already got our independence from tyranny, because trust me on this, I am not sure we would get it done today because we're way too busy complaining about how tough we have it, when in fact, for the most part, people in this country are far better off than in most countries around the world. The only way we could possibly get everyone on board here in the USA would be to tell us that, I don't know, like King Joffrey is going to attack us. And then the nerds would be coming out of the woodwork telling us we need to mobilize the dragons or whatever. But other than that, it's a good thing that our founding fathers got the things done that they did back in the 1700s, because otherwise, oh, we would be drinking tea and singing God Save the Queen instead.
If I know her as well as I think I do, she'll invite us right in for tea and strumpets.
So tomorrow, on the 4th of July, let's all try to behave ourselves here in the United States. Eat all you want. Have all the drinks you want. I mean, you know, within some reason. And blow a few things up even. That's fine. But let's stop whining at each other for a few hours. Let's try to go home with all of our digits still intact, shall we? Remember, you're not a professional football player. You need your fingers for your job. Now, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us your favorite part about America's Independence Day, or maybe you'd like to tell us your favorite part about the day your country celebrates Independence Day, whatever it might be. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at dailydosesports. Maybe you have some feedback for the show. Maybe you have a suggestion for the show. Maybe you need a little advice. We would love to hear from you. Feel free to reach out to us. Also, make sure you stop by tpublic.com. Pick up some of that Daily Dose gear you know you need in your life. We have Daily Dose t-shirts, Daily Dose sweatshirts, Daily Dose hoodies, stickers, laptop covers, cell phone covers, a number of things over at tpublic.com. Just search Daily Dose when you get over there. Scroll down until you see our logo, and feel free to order all the Daily Dose gear that you need. Hey, today on the show, we do have a few stories coming out in the world of sports, but then, as we do many times at the end of a sports season, we are actually going to be handing out some 2019 NBA season end awards today. Plus, we will have a Daily Dose top five for you coming a little bit later in the show as well. But we do need to touch on some breaking news first. A few things coming out in the world of sports this week, but of course, the biggest story, the biggest thing that we have all been following has been NBA free agency. NBA contracts expired on Sunday night, and we had player deals flying around as soon as that deadline hit, which does, of course, tell us that most of these deals were already in place. Don't try to tell me that you were hammering out a multi-year, multi-million deal in like 30 seconds. Well done, NBA. No tampering, right? Yeah, right. Of course. That's not exactly how that all went. When we see these deals come out, and some of them were coming out even before the deadline, some of them came out as soon as the deadline expired, it does make me think, yeah, this was already in place. We already know you guys were doing all this behind the scenes. And to some degree, I don't think the NBA even cares. I know they throw out that tampering charge when they feel like it. But for the most part, I mean, they just let you do whatever you want. Doesn't really matter. Okay, so the big news on that busy Sunday and kind of into Monday was basically twofold. The number one story that we are, of course, hearing is that the Brooklyn Nets were the big winners. They went out and they had a haul. They've got to be considered winners. And number two, same state, what else are we hearing? The New York Knicks were the big losers. Now, I'm going to do something a little bit stupid right now. I am actually going to contradict both of those ideas, well, sort of, at least a little bit, maybe not fully, but let's kind of recap a few of the moves that have taken place in this wild NBA free agency, at least so far. And hey, by the time you hear this, more could have happened. I totally understand that. These things are breaking constantly. But here are a few of the biggest moves that we have seen so far in NBA free agency. Of course, the Brooklyn Nets. They go out, they sign Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and DeAndre Jordan. They are huge winners here. Hey, when was the last time that any of us had any interest whatsoever in what the Brooklyn Nets were doing? I can't even think back that far. I don't know when that was. It's been a while. Remember when they were telling us, hey, you know, Jay-Z is a partial owner. It's just a matter of time before the Brooklyn Nets are taking over the NBA today. Yeah, that hasn't happened at all. Are you going to tell me that these three guys signed because of Jay-Z? Because I'm not going to believe that for a second. So now we're hearing right away the Brooklyn Nets have made themselves into contenders. Hey, this might be the team to watch in the East. They are the next big dog out there. And I just want to say, let's slow down just a little. Because let's all remember, Kevin Durant is not playing next season with that Achilles, right? So you're telling me that Kyrie Irving is probably going to be the best player on this team again. We just saw how that all works out in Boston, right? We saw the same scenario kind of play out. Hey, by the time Kevin Durant actually gets back, this team could already be a dumpster fire. We have no idea. So I like what the Nets did. The fact that they got Kevin Durant, the fact that they are getting people to come be a part of them. Hey, the Brooklyn Nets are relevant. We haven't said that in years. I give them credit for that. Are they now this super team? No, not even close. Because remember, they don't have Kevin Durant. And remember, Kyrie Irving has proven to be a bit of a mess. On the other side, the New York Knicks got Zion Williamson. No. Kevin Durant. Again, no. Kyrie Irving? No. How about Julius Randle, Elfrid Payton, Wayne Ellington, and Taj Gibson? Is this thing on? Yeah. Not an impressive haul by any stretch of the imagination. And they are saying that the Knicks refuse to offer Kevin Durant a supermax deal. Clearly, the Knicks are not just losers. They are huge losers. And yes, they are losers. Let's call it what it is. They are losers. But primarily, they are losers because the expectations for the Knicks were so high. It's not their fault that the sports media kept telling us how much the New York Knicks were going to get. We've been saying here on the Dose for months, they're not going to get nearly as much as they're saying they're going to get. But wait, hear me out on one thing. I know that they're saying, hey, they refused to give Kevin Durant that huge supermax deal, but did it really matter? Are you going to tell me that had they given him that huge offer, had they said, hey, we're going to give you everything you want, we're going to give you that supermax, are you telling me Kevin Durant was going to go there? Like he was looking at it like, what, you're not going to give me that big money? Oh, well, then I'm just going to Brooklyn. He was never going to the Knicks. Did you hear me? He was never going to the Knicks. I know the sports media kept telling us he was. I know they kept saying Kyrie Irving is going to be on the Knicks. The Knicks are getting everyone. No, they weren't. The owner is an idiot and no one wants to play for him. We've been saying that here on the Dose for a long, long time. But that isn't all. We actually don't know what Kevin Durant is going to be when he comes back. I don't think he's so overly athletic that he can't come back on some level with that Achilles, but we don't know what he's going to look like. So yes, the Knicks are losers, make no mistake, because they were built into being something that they never were. But in my opinion, hey, none of these players were ever going to go be with the Knicks. The Knicks are exactly who I thought they were.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
A few other moves of note in NBA free agency and all of the festivities that went on over the weekend. And I got to give the NBA credit on this. I know we have said, like with the NBA draft, I don't think the NBA does nearly as good of a job as they should marketing it. I don't know that they did as much as they could have with free agency, but make no mistake. Every single notice you got on your phone, oh, he signed there. Oh, wow. I mean, we were kind of glued to watching and seeing who was going to end up where on Sunday. As these player contracts are flying around, that was actually pretty fun. I give the NBA some credit for that. Let's take a look at a few of the other moves that went on over the weekend and early this week. Kemba Walker is joining the Boston Celtics. Now, I want you to think about this. You remove Kyrie Irving. You add Kemba Walker. Yeah, I like that move a lot. Kemba gets to play on a winning team for a change instead of that mess in Charlotte. I think the Boston Celtics are quietly going about and doing some good things. Yes, they lost a key player, but they did also get rid of Kyrie Irving. Kemba Walker will come in. Doesn't have to be quite as ball dominant. That should be a pretty good match for Boston. Speaking of Charlotte, what is going on in Charlotte? Where is the competitive fire that Michael Jordan always had as a player? I mean, you just let Kemba Walker walk? You don't really get anything? You don't go out and pony up big money to try to bring in a star? Can you even name a single player on that Charlotte roster now that Kemba Walker's gone? Nope, me either. The Charlotte Hornets are an absolute mess. The Philadelphia 76ers re-signed Tobias Harris, and then they went and picked up Al Horford. Hey, that's a solid move for Philly. Al Horford gives them another option, especially when Joel Embiid gets hurt, which he does often. Now, when he goes out, instead of just saying, well, now what? We don't really have much presence inside. No, we still have Al Horford here. Plus, you know Horford is probably going to mentor Joel Embiid a little bit and maybe get him to kind of, you know, play through some of those injuries that aren't quite as serious as maybe he acts like they are. Philly is also completing a sign and trade deal. They are going to ship Jimmy Butler to Miami. Now, Jimmy Butler is a really, really talented basketball player. Plays hard at both ends of the floor. He can do a little bit of everything. So why is it that every single one of his teammates seem to hate his guts? No one likes that dude. I don't know what it is. Going to Miami makes me think he just wants to be the lead dog somewhere. Well, hey, you can be the big dog in Miami, and they'll probably win a few more games with him on the roster. But Butler's teams, I don't know, they never seem to win quite as many games as we think they're going to. Solid move for Miami. I do like what Philadelphia did. I think if you were looking right now, just as things stand right now, you would have to make the Philadelphia 76ers probably a slight favorite over in the East. Speaking of the East, another team that you're going to have to consider over there are the Milwaukee Bucks. And they did a nice job, at least so far, of keeping some of their assets. They keep both Chris Middleton and Brook Lopez. Those are good moves. I don't think they're done, but I like what Milwaukee has done so far. Another team I like what they've done so far, the New Orleans Pelicans. We know they already got Zion Williamson in the draft. And they also got all those assets from the Anthony Davis trade. And then they went out and they grabbed sharpshooter veteran J.J. Redick. Hey, that's a nice get for the Pelicans. Redick gives them a veteran presence. He gives them good locker room leadership in addition to his shooting. And he is a deadly shooter. They also went out and picked up rebounder Derek Favors. Hey, the New Orleans Pelicans, they're kind of making some moves, doing some good things. Another team we need to probably talk about. The Golden State Warriors were, well, let's just say interesting. Is that what the Warriors were? First, they lose KD. Okay, I mean, what can you do? Then they did go out and they did re-sign Klay Thompson to an extension. Understandably, I know there was a lot of talk maybe Klay would leave. I never thought Klay was going anywhere. But then things got a little more interesting. They ship Andre Iguodala out to Memphis. Now, I'm not sure we're ever going to see Andre Iguodala even in a Memphis uniform. I don't know if I'd buy that. I could totally see Andre Iguodala basically just being hurt for most of the season, never even really suiting up. And then come trade deadline, suddenly he gets shipped off to a contender. Maybe now he's with the Lakers or he's with the Clippers or he is with a team trying to make a playoff push. I don't know if he ever even sees the floor in Memphis. I'll believe that when I see it. We kind of knew that Andre Iguodala was going to be out of Golden State. As soon as he started calling out that medical staff in Golden State, you knew his days were numbered. But the Warriors weren't done. Then they went out and they also signed former Brooklyn Nets guard D'Angelo Russell. And immediately we started to hear the same thing. How is D'Angelo Russell going to coincide with Klay and Steph? I mean, they already have one of the best backcourts ever. Now you're going to put D'Angelo Russell in there? What is he going to do? Play the three? But I don't think that's what this move is about at all. I think this is just the Golden State Warriors grabbing something they can use in the future. Hey, they can trade him down the line. They just grabbed him to have something in their pocket. Again, I could totally see them going out and packaging him with another deal and making a move and getting some more help. The Warriors have had an interesting offseason so far. We'll see where they go with it. And I still think as Klay Thompson gets healthy, as they start to get people back, and we'll see what other moves they make. Do not sleep on the Golden State Warriors. They're probably going to be a pain for someone in the postseason next year. Couple of notably quiet teams out there, though. The Los Angeles Clippers. I mean, they re-signed Patrick Beverley, but they really haven't done much. The Denver Nuggets haven't really done anything. They gave a new contract to Jamal Murray. That's about it. Hey, there were some other teams over in the Western Conference. They were getting better. Portland went out and made some moves. Utah went out and made some moves. Memphis, Dallas, we just talked about New Orleans. They are all improving. Hey, Clippers and Nuggets, I know you guys were right in the thick of it this year. I don't know. Do you feel confident enough with what you have when we saw other teams build on the success they had? We're going to see if they can maintain where they're at. We'll see if they end up making any other moves. And of course, we are all still waiting to hear what Kawhi Leonard is going to do. Does he go back to Toronto and all that money? Does he go join maybe the Lakers or the Clippers? Could Golden State somehow swing like a sign and trade with Toronto? A lot of possibilities that are still out there. I will say this, like I said, the NBA had all of the attention on Sunday. The league got shaken up, where we have had the Golden State Warriors just be the heavy favorite over the last 3 or 4 years. Who is the favorite right now? Honestly, I don't really know. The Toronto Raptors? I mean, if Kawhi comes back? The Philadelphia 76ers, who seem like they'll be solid? The Los Angeles Lakers, if they could get Kawhi to join them? The Golden State Warriors, again, if they could get Kawhi to join them? Same could go for like the Clippers or a number of other teams out there. There are still a few stories left to develop in NBA free agency, but so far, this has been highly, highly entertaining to watch. Hey, coming back, the 2019 NBA season is now over. It is now July. But are any of us fully all in on baseball just yet? No. No, we're not. In fact, we're not even close. When we return, we are going to hand out a few season-end awards for the 2019 NBA season. Yes, we already know that the NBA has already handed out their awards. I just don't happen to agree with all of them. And you know, we have a few other awards that we need to hand out too.
Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, maybe you have a birthday or an anniversary, or you just want to do some shopping for yourself, you're going to want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose for all of the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. July's Loot Crate theme is now out, and it's called Journey. So you want to be a hero? Well, that doesn't happen overnight. You've got to take a journey into the unknown, build some character, and have a few adventures. Don't worry, we'll get you started on the right path with some epic pop culture gear. July's Loot Crate theme features items from Spider-Man, Scooby-Doo, Fallout, and Farscape. But if none of those franchises interest you, remember, you can go to Loot Crate and choose from a huge selection of crates, a subscription of crates that will arrive at your house every month, or just go order individual items. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate is when you check out, be sure to enter Daily Dose in the coupon box to get 10% off your order, just as a thank you for listening to the Daily Dose.
So the 2019 NBA season is, of course, now over. And what a wild season it was in a year in which the Golden State Warriors were, of course, the heavy favorites to win it all once again. Oh, maybe they'd get a little bit of a test from a team like, I don't know, the Los Angeles Lakers, now that they had LeBron James. But the only other team that could really pose any sort of a threat to the Warriors going into the season would be who? Maybe the Houston Rockets? But that isn't exactly how this NBA season went. Yes, the Warriors were dominant once again, although not quite as much. The Lakers were mildly competitive for a while, but injuries and a poorly designed roster eventually did them in. The Houston Rockets once again proved to be unable to knock off Golden State, and the Warriors sailed through to the NBA Finals. But when they got there this year, yeah, they ran into something a little bit different. No longer were they facing an overmatched Cleveland Cavaliers squad. This year, the Warriors were the team that was all banged up with injuries, and the Toronto Raptors seemed like they kind of got stronger in each round of the playoffs. Remember, they lost their opening game of the playoffs to Orlando, and then they won 4 games in a row. Then they beat the Philadelphia 76ers on that crazy Game 7 shot by Kawhi Leonard before knocking out the Milwaukee Bucks in 6 games. But I mean, there was no way they could beat the Warriors, right? But then the Warriors have a few injuries. The Raptors get some clutch play from a few role players. Kawhi Leonard steps up once again. And the Toronto Raptors are your 2019 NBA champions. So we know free agency is fully underway and guys are moving all over the place. But right now on the Daily Dose, we want to finish off the 2019 NBA season and hand out a few season end awards. And let's get started with the Rookie of the Year. Because if you think back to the season, hey, there were a few notable rookies this year. Trae Young in Atlanta showed improvement as the season went on. And I'm still not exactly sure what to think of Trae Young. Think he's got some potential. Seemed like he started to figure out the NBA game a little bit. He plays no defense. And sometimes he still forces up some really, really bad shots. But I like what Trae Young did. He's at least entertaining to watch. Luka Doncic in Dallas is going to be a very good player, and he was named the NBA Rookie of the Year. But, you know, I always struggle handing out the Rookie of the Year to players like a Trae Young or a Luka Doncic that played all season for a terrible team and had no expectations on what they did, because anything they did was kind of bonus. I mean, when we look at those two, you can go out and score 40 points tonight. You got beat. It didn't matter. So I always kind of struggle because they didn't play in any clutch games, in any important games, all season long. And for that reason, I am giving my Daily Dose Rookie of the Year to Los Angeles Clippers guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who actually contributed to a playoff team. And then when the Clippers actually made it to the postseason, Gilgeous-Alexander actually scored 14 points a game in clutch postseason games. Now, I'm not saying he's going to end up being a better rookie than Doncic or maybe even Trae Young or some of the other guys that are out there. But this year, for this season, he actually contributed to a playoff team. He had to play in clutch, crucial minutes, and he seemed to get a little bit better in the postseason. The Daily Dose is going to name Shai Gilgeous-Alexander our 2019 Rookie of the Year. But you know, this year, I thought we would also hand out awards at the other end of the spectrum, because I also want to hand out a not Rookie of the Year as well. Now, which rookie was like the furthest from winning the Rookie of the Year? And I hate to do this, but I have to give it to Utah Jazz rookie Grayson Allen. Yes, our favorite guy out of Duke, who averaged just 5 points per game this year for the Jazz while shooting just 37% from the field. Do you realize Grayson Allen's total plus minus was one of the worst in the entire league out of every single player? And get this, he didn't even trip anyone. Well, I mean, what else is it that you do? You can't shoot it, apparently. You don't play any defense. You're not scoring any points. At least trip somebody, Grayson. At least do what you can do. I didn't think he did that. As a result, Grayson Allen is named our not Rookie of the Year. Now, I know that the official NBA award for Coach of the Year went to Milwaukee Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer, since the Bucks were the top team in the league by record. But then they got beat by who we are going to name our Coach of the Year this year, Toronto Raptors head coach Nick Nurse, in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals. And then Nick Nurse went on to win the finals. Now, once again, this isn't just about the results. I mean, yes, some of it's there, but it's not just the results. Remember, Nick Nurse got the Toronto Raptors to buy in defensively and to work extremely hard in every game. He even tried some unorthodox methods. He threw out some junk defenses in the finals. He was throwing out some junk against the Golden State Warriors that actually made them stumble for a few possessions. Now remember, the Toronto Raptors fired their head coach Dwayne Casey last year after yet another early playoff exit. And when they fired him, we all kind of looked around and went, well, yeah, but who else is going to do anything? They bring in Nick Nurse. And we're looking around going, okay, who's he? What is he possibly going to do? How about win a title? That's what he's going to do. And for that reason, Toronto Raptors head coach Nick Nurse is our Coach of the Year. But again, here at the Daily Dose, we are also going to hand out a not Coach of the Year. And if we were handing out a not Coach of the Year, I probably would hand it to a guy that didn't win a single game all season. No, not one single game. Because Cleveland Cavaliers head coach Tyronn Lue started off the season 0-6 before Cavs ownership basically said, okay, look, Tyronn Lue, you've done well and all and got us to the finals and all this stuff, but we're 0-6. How about this? How about, no, we'll keep paying you. We're not saying we're going to stop paying you. How about we give you all this money to no longer coach us? We realize we still have to pay you. We can't stop the contract. But how about we give you these millions of dollars just for you to go sit in your own living room and not come anywhere near our team? So Tyronn Lue finished the season winless. And here's the more impressive part. Somehow, after the season in which he didn't win a single game, the Los Angeles Lakers kind of tried half-heartedly to offer him their job. Not bad for a guy that went all year without a win. So he's going to win our not coach of the year. Now, think back just a little bit. Because right now, of course, everybody's pretty excited about the Lakers. But can you imagine if Tyronn Lue was the head coach there? I have a feeling they wouldn't quite be as excited as they are right now. Tyronn Lue is named our not coach of the year. So let's move on to a different category. We need to hand out our most improved player. Now, remember, the media gave their most improved player to Toronto Raptors forward Pascal Siakam. Understandable. He did a really, really nice job in the playoffs. You could see his game kind of growing up right in front of us, and he was very, very good as the playoffs continued. But if we are going to give out this award, it has to go to a player who we all kind of thought, hey, this guy might be headed out of the league because he looks like he can't play at this level. The Los Angeles Lakers drafted D'Angelo Russell with the number 2 overall pick back in 2015. But after being completely underwhelming, I mean, he didn't do anything. Everyone was looking at D'Angelo Russell and saying, man, this kid's a bust. This kid isn't going anywhere. I don't know what happened. I don't know if we all just kind of misread who he was, but he's not a player. The Lakers would trade him to Brooklyn. And this year, D'Angelo Russell averaged over 21 points a game. And of course, we know he's a free agent this year. He's about to get paid. Who in the world saw any of this coming when the Lakers were looking at him and saying, yeah, this kid can't play. He's awful. He doesn't know what he's doing. We don't know why we took him. I'd have to say he is the most improved player. We thought he was going to be out bagging groceries. D'Angelo Russell is now getting a big deal. Hey, he definitely has to be our most improved player. But again, on the other side of that spectrum, here at the Daily Dose, we are also going to hand out a least improved player. And if I have to go with someone who doesn't ever seem to learn any lessons whatsoever, I have to give it to one of our all-time favorites here at the Dose. You guessed it, Cleveland Cavaliers guard J.R. Smith. Oh, J.R. Smith is just the gift that keeps on giving. Of course, we all remember J.R. not knowing the score in the NBA Finals Game 1 last year, dribbling the clock out instead of getting a shot up. Well, this year, after the Cavs, of course, got off to that awful start under Tyronn Lue, J.R. Smith accused the Cavaliers front office of tanking. Now, were they tanking? Of course they were tanking. Can you say that about the team that signs your paychecks? No, you cannot. But J.R. Smith did it, and his own team had to suspend him for saying stupid things. Hey, live and don't learn. That is our boy J.R. J.R. Smith wins our least improved player of the year. Now, we have to give out a sixth man of the year. And when I look around the league, kind of trying to find sixth man of the year, it's kind of tough. But of course, I did like, you know, the media gave their sixth man of the year to Los Angeles Clippers guard Lou Williams. And I understand it. Lou Williams comes in off the bench. He is instant offense. He is easily capable of being a starter in this league. Hey, he takes one for the team. He doesn't start. He sacrifices that. He says, I'll come in off the bench. I'll give us a lift when I do come off the bench. And so for that, we will agree with the sports media world. We will also give Lou Williams our sixth man of the year. But here's kind of a weird observation for you. Do you have any idea who came in second in the media voting for sixth man of the year? You might not realize this, but the guy that was actually voted second for sixth man of the year is Montrezl Harrell, also of the Los Angeles Clippers. Does that strike anyone else as weird, or is that just me? Because Lou Williams is a sixth man of the Clippers. So how can Montrezl Harrell? Wouldn't Montrezl Harrell then be the seventh man off the bench? How does he get sixth man? I don't understand how this works. He would be seventh man. I'm going to give Lou Williams the sixth man of the year, and then I'll give Montrezl Harrell the seventh man of the year. They both get awards today. Good for them. Let's move on to our Defensive Player of the Year. And I know the sports media gave the Defensive Player of the Year this year to Utah Jazz big man Rudy Gobert. And I understand it. Hey, he averaged 13 rebounds. He averaged 2 blocks a game. He's a monster inside. If you take the ball to the rim against the Utah Jazz, odds are you're probably going to have to face Rudy Gobert. He changes a lot of shots. He blocks a lot of shots. He forces you to find another way to get to the basket. But doesn't it just kind of seem like the sports media world kind of gives this award to Rudy Gobert, I don't know, just whenever they don't know who else to give it to? Like, we're not really going to study, you know, film. We're not really going to look at who the best defensive player actually is. So I guess just give it to Rudy Gobert. I mean, we've given it to him before, but go ahead and give it to him again. He's a shot blocker. He's a rebounder. Go ahead and give it to him. But, you know, Detroit Pistons big man Andre Drummond actually averaged nearly 16 rebounds a game, and he also had 2 blocks a game, and his defensive win shares were actually a little bit better than Rudy Gobert's. So we're actually going to dig a little bit deeper, and we're going to give our Defensive Player of the Year to Detroit Pistons forward Andre Drummond. And you know what I like about Andre Drummond? Remember, just a few years ago, we were looking at Andre Drummond saying, yeah, he's a good defensive player, but he can't do anything offensively, and he's a liability at the free throw line. So late in games, as good as he is defensively, you have to take him out of the game because he can't hit free throws. He has gone out and he has shored up his free throw shooting. He is now a guy that can step up and knock down free throws at like a 70% clip. I give Andre Drummond a ton of credit for that. I also think he is a very, very good defensive player. He wins our Defensive Player of the Year. But here at the Daily Dose, if we are giving a not Defensive Player of the Year, I guess we'd have to give it to a guy that, of course, plays no defense whatsoever. No, I'm not talking about LeBron James, although he easily could be in contention when you watch his defensive effort. And I'm telling you, if you go watch, especially with the Lakers, it was bad with the Cavs, but if you watch LeBron James defensively with the Lakers, wow. You want to talk about someone who is completely disinterested in playing anything that resembles defense. We easily could give this award to LeBron James. But I'm actually not going to give it to him. I'm going to give it to a former teammate of LeBron James, a guy that is in Cleveland. I have to hand our not Defensive Player of the Year to Jordan Clarkson. We see Jordan Clarkson. I mean, kind of looks athletic. He's a lean, tall guy. He can go out and play pretty good offense. Hey, must be a decent defensive player. No, he's not. He's horrible. Jordan Clarkson is a negative 3.5 points defensively every single time he steps on the floor. That is one of the worst stats among the entire league. Jordan Clarkson averages 3 rebounds and less than 1 steal and less than 1 block per game. Jordan Clarkson is our not Defensive Player of the Year. And hey, when Daddy LeBron asks where he learns those terrible defensive fundamentals he has, I have a pretty good idea of what Jordan Clarkson's answer is going to be.
You, all right? I learned it by watching you.
Okay, next up, we are handing out our Offensive Player of the Year. And hey, there are a ton of candidates. In this era of the NBA, everything is about the offense. It's kind of like the NFL. They have tilted the field in favor of the offense. Proves to be a little bit more of an entertaining game. As a result, we have guys going out and just lighting up the scoreboard. Houston Rockets guard James Harden led the league in scoring. But at the same time, I don't know if you've watched James Harden play. That is an ugly, ugly game to watch. A lot of hesitate and go and getting you to lean off balance and then throwing up some junk and going to the free throw line. It's not very fun to watch. Very talented, don't get me wrong, but it's not very entertaining to watch. Paul George with the Oklahoma City Thunder averaged 28 points per game. But of course, the Thunder flamed out in the playoffs and he's now battling a shoulder injury. So for our Offensive Player of the Year, I am actually going to go full homer here. Denver Nuggets big man Nikola Jokic averaged 20 points per game. He also averaged 10 rebounds per game. And the big guy also averaged 7 assists per game. Hey, if you add the 7 assists into his scoring, that's what, another 14 points at least? That brings the average of his scoring up to 34 points a game. See how I kind of manipulated those stats to suit my needs? And yes, I realize Harden also averaged 7 assists as well, but you tell me, who would you rather watch? Nikola Jokic And the way that he passes the ball and moves the ball and can score from anywhere, or James Harden just trying to throw up junk and get fouled. Yeah, I know. I'd rather watch Jokic too. As a result, I'm going to go full homer and I'm going to give him our offensive player of the year. But I am also going to give our not offensive player of the year to a guy, and I have to give it to a guy that kind of skates by as far as like actually being labeled a bust. But when I watch him, he's getting dangerously close to being labeled a bust. It could be coming because I don't think this kid cares that much about really being great. The Cleveland Cavaliers used the top pick of the 2014 NBA draft on him, but he was immediately traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves. But watching him now, Andrew Wiggins isn't doing that much. Do you realize this? This past year, Andrew Wiggins averaged 18 points a game. Okay, that's not that bad. That's not horrible. But he did it shooting just 40% from the field. And he was just 33% from three-point range. And he has one of the worst offensive plus-minus numbers in the entire league. Every time he steps on the floor, he's a negative 1.7. Andrew Wiggins, go get some shots up today because you win our not offensive player of the year. You're not doing that much. The good thing for Andrew Wiggins, he's on that bad team with Minnesota. It kind of hides how bad he actually is because he can go out and get 18 points a night and no one really notices because who else is going to take shots up there? Andrew Wiggins, though, he is not producing at a very efficient pace. And for that, he wins our not offensive player of the year. Now, every single year here at the Daily Dose, when we do our NBA season end awards, we hand out an award. And yes, it's kind of mean, but you know, we still do it. We hand out a didn't you used to be award where we look at a player that used to be good, sometimes even great. But if you saw him on the street right now, you would probably say something along the lines of, hey, didn't you used to be? And I hate to put this guy on this list and give him this award because he is truly one of the great players that have played in this league. But if you saw Pau Gasol right now, wouldn't you say, hey, didn't you used to be Pau Gasol? And if you say no, just go ahead and tell me where he played this last season. Did you realize Pau Gasol was with the Toronto Raptors? Oh, and also with the San Antonio Spurs? Oh, and also with the Milwaukee Bucks? He was with three different teams. Or did you realize that Pau Gasol for the season with all teams combined, he averaged just 3 points per game? Now, I understand Pau has been injured. I get all that. But this is not the Pau Gasol that we remember. Plus, I mean, Pau Gasol has always kind of looked like, how should we say it? A hobo? Like a homeless person? I don't know. Is that like politically incorrect in this era? I don't know. I can't keep track of what's politically correct and what's not. Is hobo bad? I can't say hobo. Urban outdoorsman? Pau Gasol has always looked a bit like an urban outdoorsman. What I'm saying is, if you saw him on the street, there's a good chance you would say, hey, didn't you used to be Pau Gasol? And for that reason, he wins our Didn't You Used to Be award. Another award that we hand out every year here at the Daily Dose is the Kobe Bryant / Carmelo Anthony award. And we've kind of had some struggles with this name because what we do is we hand out this award to the player that shot the most, shot really, really poorly, and didn't ever hand out any assists. Now, this was originally the Kobe Bryant award, but I think what happened is I think Carmelo Anthony won the award so often that we renamed it for him. Anyway, we shouldn't do this, but we have to give it to a rookie. And I feel bad giving it to a rookie because these are just young kids. They're not who they're going to be yet. They're just trying to figure things out. But if you look at his stats, you might understand why we're giving it to New York Knicks rookie Kevin Knox. Knox had a rough first season. Now he should get better. He's only 19 years old. But get this, Kevin Knox for the year shot 914 shots. He only made 338 of them. That's not good. He qualifies on the shooting poorly part. 37%? Yeah, that's not great. But then he handed out just 82 assists all year. So basically, Kevin Knox shot 11 times for every assist that he had. Yeah, I would say that's Carmelo-ish. So for that reason, he wins our Kobe Bryant Carmelo Anthony Award. I don't know, whoever that's named for. I think we changed it to the Carmelo Anthony Award, didn't we? There's any listeners out there that remember. help me out there. We're going to give him our Carmelo Anthony Award. Now we need to move on to one of the more important awards here on the Daily Dose today. We need to hand out the most valuable player. And I know that the sports media world gave their MVP trophy already to Milwaukee Bucks superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo. And understandably, guy was absolutely phenomenal all year. He plays at both ends. He was very, very good. He is such a freak. If he ever gets any sort of touch from the outside, people are going to be in big trouble because Giannis is going to be unstoppable if he does that. But I want you to think back about this. Again, we kind of have to go back in time. We kind of have to think in a different way because right now, yes, we know the Toronto Raptors won the championship. We know the Warriors went down with the injuries. We get all that. But think back. If I had told you last year that the Toronto Raptors had actually won a playoff series prior to the season, you'd have been like, I don't know about that. That sounds a little bit crazy. But if I had told you they would knock off the Golden State Warriors and win the championship, yeah, there's no way that's happening. We wouldn't have believed it for a second. Sorry, Giannis, I can't give you the MVP. I've got to give it to the guy that beat you, that beat the Warriors, and that proved to everyone he is the big dog on campus. Kawhi Leonard is our Daily Dose MVP for 2019. Finally, we get to our final award. And yes, we had to go the other way on the MVP too. We need to hand out our award to the least valuable player for the 2019 NBA season. Hey, there was a team going into the season. They looked like the heavy favorite in the Eastern Conference. They had gone to Game 7 of the conference finals last year. Now, they were actually going to return more talent. How good were the Boston Celtics going to be this year? Well, actually, not so good. Because Kyrie Irving proved to be divisive and alienating, and he wrecked the team's chemistry completely. Kyrie consistently took to the post-game podium to talk about how inexperienced this team was and how he had to lead them. And his teammates don't want to hear that stuff. Hey, we went to the conference finals without you. What are you talking about? We don't need your help. We don't need you to bail us out. They say Kyrie wouldn't sign autographs. They say that he separated himself from the team off the court. The Boston Celtics lost in just 5 games to Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference semifinals. And I mean, I think we'd all have to agree, the Boston Celtics seriously underachieved. Why did they underachieve? Pretty simple. They had the least valuable player. Kyrie Irving wins our least valuable player of the year. Hey, coming back, we need to get to our Daily Dose top five. Of course, we have had the NBA free agency frenzy going this week. Teams are trying to scoop up available players to maybe make their teams into that next Toronto Raptors squad that grabbed a title with a few players they had just added. But I mean, we know these things don't always work out. And when we come back, we've got 5 examples of exactly that. Now, as we do every week, we need to get to our Daily Dose top five. On Sunday evening, NBA free agency opened up and teams put on their best sales pitch to try to get players to come join them. And hey, just maybe you'll have a chance to make some history. Hey, we have seen teams in the past think they are getting the missing piece for their team. And sometimes it does lead to a huge payoff. When you think back to players like maybe Moses Malone going to the Philadelphia 76ers, he put them over the top. Tom Chambers, Ray Allen, Dennis Rodman joining the Chicago Bulls. What about Kevin Durant going to Golden State? LeBron James going to, well, wherever it is that he goes because he's gone so many places. Shaquille O'Neal going to the Lakers. These guys went to their new teams and they helped them compete for a title. But we also know just going out and signing someone in free agency doesn't always fix everything. It doesn't always work. There are a number of times it goes exactly the opposite way. You might look at a player and say, hey, now we have this player. Now we have this missing piece that we needed. But sometimes guys get paid. They don't want to work as hard. Sometimes they are a poor fit for the franchise. Sometimes their teammates can't stand them. Sometimes they're just completely overrated by the front offices. And they give them this huge deal when in fact they really didn't deserve this huge deal. Today, we are going to look at 5 horrible NBA free agent signings. don't think it can't happen again this year. There is a good chance we could see some players from this year's NBA free agency period ending up on a list just like this in the future. Don't think it can't happen, because on a lot of these guys, we didn't think they were bad choices at the time, but they turned out to be horrible NBA free agent signings. Let's take a look at the top five. Starting off at number five. Now, let me say this. When you hear this contract, you're going to go, I mean, big deal. Who cares? It's not that much money. But you have to understand, this took place in a different era. The Atlanta Hawks were trying to get over the hump. They needed to somehow figure out a way to beat a very loaded Boston Celtics team, an up-and-coming Chicago Bulls team, and a very, very good and very, very tough and physical Detroit Pistons team. This is back in 1989. The Hawks weren't that far off. I think they were better than sometimes we remember. They had a very solid point guard in Doc Rivers. Dominique Wilkins was a freak athlete. He could score from just about anywhere on the floor. Spud Webb was flying around the court, wreaking havoc, giving assists, dunking sometimes on people for a little 5'7 guy. But the Atlanta Hawks needed a big man. Now, they thought they had their guy. They thought he was an in-house guy, because the Hawks had drafted SMU's 7-footer John Konkak in 1985, and he hit the free agent market. But the Hawks thought, hey, we'll sign him back, and he is going to be ready to take that next step as a player. So they gave him a 6-year, $13 million deal. Now, again, when you hear that number, you say, 6 years? $13 million bucks? Who cares? That's chump change. That's not money at all. But you also have to consider this. At the time, in 1989, Magic Johnson, one of the greatest players to ever play the game, was getting $11.9 million from the Los Angeles Lakers. The Hawks are going to give John Konkak $13 million? Are you crazy? Konkak had better be really, really good. When you hear that number compared to Johnson, you say, wait a minute, this is a lot of money back in those days. And it was. For his career, John Konkak averaged 4 points per game, 5 rebounds a game. He was 7 feet tall. You can't get more than 5 rebounds a game. Needless to say, the Atlanta Hawks had not, in fact, found their man. John Konkak never did live up to the hype. He never blossomed. He never improved. He never got better. He did, though, have that sweet mule hairdo, the business up front and the party in the back. John Konkak comes in at number five. Moving on to number four. You know, in 1996, the Seattle Supersonics were coming off of an NBA Finals appearance. Remember, they had made it all the way to the finals. Yes, they had lost to Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, but they had made it to the finals. That's pretty big stuff. And I know that a lot of times, especially in this day and age, especially the LeBron fans, they want to throw out the idea that somehow Michael Jordan and Chicago Bulls didn't ever really face great teams in the finals. One, I think that's ludicrous. Two, they had to get to those finals by going through some of the best teams over in the Eastern Conference. But I do think that this Seattle team, I think they are heavily underrated. I don't think people realize just how good the Supersonics were back in the mid-90s. I mean, you had Gary Payton, one of the best point guards and one of the best defensive point guards ever. You had Sean Kemp, who was not fat Sean Kemp yet. This was a freak athlete. And don't forget, Sean Kemp could shoot a little bit. He was a monster all over the floor. They had Detlef Schrempf. They had Sam Perkins, Hersey Hawkins, Irvin Johnson, even guys coming off the bench like David Wingate. Just a tough, hard-nosed team. This Seattle Supersonics team, I'm telling you, they may win the finals now because they had so much depth. They were loaded. But following the season that they went all the way to the NBA Finals, the Sonics were, again, looking for another big man. And a guy by the name of Jim McElvain had primarily been a bench player with Washington. But when he came onto the free agent market, Seattle looked at him and said, okay, he's not getting that many minutes for them, but what could he do with us? What could he do if he was surrounded by Sean Kemp and Gary Payton and Detlef Schrempf and Sam Perkins? He might come in here and be a true big man and really give us something in the paint. 7 feet? He can shoot a little bit. this might be the guy we've been looking for. So Seattle gave him a 7-year deal worth $33.6 million. Now again, that doesn't sound like huge money by today's standards. But here's the problem. That gave him a bigger paycheck than guys already on the team. That gave him more money than Sam Perkins. That gave him more money than Hersey Hawkins. And that gave him nearly as much money as even Sean Kemp and Gary Payton. McIlvain, though, couldn't back it up. He wasn't that kind of a player. McIlvain was awful. He could barely even play his way into getting playing time. He averaged just 3 points a game. The Seattle Supersonics took a chance on a guy they thought maybe he's going to be a player. We've seen flashes of him coming off the bench. Maybe he's going to step in and be the next guy. It didn't work. The Seattle Supersonics gave a horrible deal to Jim McIlvain, and it ended up kind of disrupting some of the chemistry they had. They never did get back to the level that they were when they got to those NBA finals. Jim McIlvain comes in at number 4. Moving on to number 3. And this time, it is going to be the Orlando Magic paying way too much money for a player that once he got paid, well, he just didn't seem really to care that much about playing anymore. He didn't really have the same drive that he had had prior to that. Rashard Lewis had been drafted by the Seattle Supersonics straight out of high school back in 1998. He had been a solid player. He'd been a pretty good scorer. He played for 9 seasons. He averaged 16 points a game. Not bad. So when he came available on the free agent market, the Orlando Magic thought, hey, we can pay this guy to come in and be a big time scorer for us. They gave him a monster deal. And it was a really poorly thought out deal. The deal was 6 years for $118.2 million.
What?
Yeah, wait, it gets worse. Lewis's contract was completely backloaded. So that means he actually got more expensive as the years went on. The problem was, as the years went on, he got worse every single year. So Lewis made $14.8 million in his first year in Orlando. Okay, that's painful. The second year, it increased to $16.4 million. In the third year, it jumped up to $18.8 million. In the fourth year, $19.5 million. And in the fifth year, $21.1 million. Now, in the 2010-2011 season, only Kobe Bryant was getting more money to play than Rashard Lewis. Meanwhile, Lewis was getting worse every single season. He started off at least reasonably strong. He averaged 18 points a game. Then it dropped to 17 points. Then it was down to 14 points. Finally, it was down to 11 points. But he was making more and more money every year of this deal. The Orlando Magic gave Rashard Lewis way too much money. And no question, that was a horrible free agency deal. That comes in at number 3 on our list today. Coming in at number 2 is a team that honestly, if we would have wanted to, and I considered it, I did, but I didn't want to pick on them because we know that this year, the New York Knicks, they're not exactly seeing all of their dreams come true, right? Hey, we could have done a top 5 just of poor New York Knicks moves because they have a history of horrible free agent signings and, well, even rookie draft picks and just personnel moves in general. But our number 2 entry, he didn't get that big of money, but it didn't matter. It was still a horrible deal. Back in 2005, Isaiah Thomas was running things in the front office and he would set that franchise back decades with his horrible decisions. The Knicks gave free agent big man Jerome James a 5-year deal worth $30 million. Now, James had been, I wouldn't say great, but he had at least been solid prior to coming to New York. He had started 80 games at center for a Seattle team that won 52 games in 2004 and 2005. But in 4 seasons with the Knicks, Jerome James would start just 20 games. He would average just 2 points per game. And in his final 2 seasons with the Knicks, he played in 4 games total. He was out of shape. He didn't want to work hard. Jerome James is without question one of the worst free agent signings ever. They gave him $30 million and he didn't really do anything. We look at Rashard Lewis, we say, well, you know, for the first season, at least he gave you 18 points a game. Jerome James didn't do anything. He was awful. He comes in at number two. But we have another guy that just might be worse. And once again, he was also signed by those New York Knicks. For our number one entry, the New York Knicks gave a six-year deal worth $60 million to former Chicago Bull Eddie Curry back in 2005. Yes, also under the reign of Isaiah Thomas. Now, Eddie Curry should have given the Knicks a banger in the front court, a big man, a tough guy up front to rebound and block shots and go score points in the paint. Hey, you team a guy up like that with guys like Stephon Marbury, Steve Francis, Jamal Crawford. Hey, the Knicks should be in the thick of like a playoff push, right? Instead, Eddie Curry got this deal and he just decided, I am going to eat everything this money can buy and anything that's in my sight, I'm going to stuff it in my mouth. Eddie Curry averaged 15 points a game for the Knicks. And if you look at that, you say, well, that's not that bad. Who cares? But it's a little misleading because in the final 2 years of the contract, he only played in 10 games. Why? Because he couldn't keep his weight under control. Head coach Mike D'Antoni had to bench him because he was just so out of shape, he couldn't play in games. And Curry earned his loot just sitting on the bench, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. By the end of it, he was over 300 pounds. His joints couldn't take it. He started having knee and ankle problems. He was completely out of the league in 2010 because he just couldn't play physically. And there were concerns about his heart. He had gotten so heavy, they were seriously worried. You need to take a test and make sure your heart can still beat. And he would refuse to take the test. So they had to bench him. The Knicks would eventually ship him off to Minnesota in a deal that would bring Carmelo Anthony to the Big Apple. Hey, I know there are a number of teams out there right now in free agency throwing money around, signing big name free agents. And when they do, it's kind of like we do with the NFL. You look at it and you say, well, hey, they should get better with that acquisition. They should be a free agency winner, right? But as we've seen here, signing a big money free agent doesn't always mean big success. We will see how these deals turn out, but I have a suspicion there are going to be a number of these deals that we are going to look back in a few years, maybe even just a few months, and say, you know what? That might not have been a great free agency deal. You know it's probably coming. Hey, next week on The Dose, we will, of course, bring you all the latest sports stories as they become available. And we just might have to have another Daily Dose Top 5 for you. You never know where that might end up going, but you have to be sure that you tune in and find out. Hey, I have to say thanks to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you so much for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for the messages. But more than anything, thank you so much for sharing the show. We love it when you do that. We cannot get new listeners without you sharing the show. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a safe and happy 4th of July. Rock flag and eagle!